You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine joins us to give us the latest news from the science world, including a brand new giant dinosaur discovery. First, Wisconsin holds a special place in U.S. circus history.
In 1882, there were 33 circuses touring America. In 1884, there were almost 50. Among the newcomers were five brothers living in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Al, Otto, Alf T., Charles, and John Ringling had seen their first circus in Iowa as children. They had scrambled out of the house before dawn to meet a steamboat carrying a traveling show up the Mississippi River.
That's part of a new four-hour, two-part American Experience documentary titled The Circus. It premieres tonight on Wisconsin Public Television and Milwaukee Public Television at 8 p.m. One of the experts interviewed in the documentary is Wisconsinite Fred Dollinger Jr. He's a curator of circus history with the John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art in Sarasota, Florida. He's been studying the circus for 50 years. Fred, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I want to talk about that excitement in the 1800s of hearing that the circus is coming to town in an age without the internet or TV or college football. Can you talk about what that felt like?
Well, Circus Day was one of the three big days of the year for children in particular. It ranked right up there with the 4th of July and with Christmas. It was a day when life wasn't lived as normal. You maybe got loose from your chores. You could go watch the circus arrive in town, see the parade, and then go to the showgrounds to witness a performance. And when you read the remarks about it by people like Hamlin Garland, it was just like a day like no other day.
Well, I want to bring it home to Wisconsin. You're joining us from Baraboo right now. Tell us how the Ringling brothers got into the circus game.
Well, it just happened that their family was living here in Baraboo, and they came into exposure with other people who were showmen. And in the late 1870s, John and Al, the oldest of them, went into the employ of a fellow named Dr. Morrison in Delavan, Wisconsin. And they just prospered and grew this idea of owning their own show. And in 1882, they started with a very modest hall show that played the opera houses around this area. And then in 1884, by their own ability, they put together some wagons, a tent, seating, and they took out their very first modest circus. And really, there was more to be seen from their own hand than from the other performers that they hired, but people really recognized right away that these guys had determination, they had skill, and above all, they had dedication to making sure that all of their customers had a good experience at their circus.
What did it take to put together a show in an industry kind of defined by this amazing showman slash flim-flam man in some ways, P.T. Barnum?
Well, you could start out in a very modest way, which is what the Ringlings did. They probably have no more than about a half dozen wagons and maybe 6 to 10 horses, maybe less capital than $1,000 invested. But because you could actually perform, manage, administer, and do all the things required to operate a circus, it really didn't take a whole lot beyond your own dedication to the task. So, yes, it was very modest as compared to the industry leader Barnum Bailey, but the thing to remember that between 1884 when they started and the late 1890s, let's say 1897, the Ringling brothers grew their circus at a rate that was unprecedented in history. They literally were the equal of the great Barnum Bailey show 13 years after starting on the road.
Now, I understand that there was a lot of negative reaction to the circus. People thought it was immoral or amoral. It was a bad influence, especially on those kids you were talking about. Talk about that response.
Well, that's kind of a funny question because adults would make excuses of they were going to see the circus because they wanted their children to see it. And you do hear a lot of comments from the pulpit that are anti-circus. It is generally in regard to the lack of female coverage of the flesh, but yet it was very popular. I think in some ways the circus came into town and was somewhat exempt from local cultural mores in a sense that they did allow women to have a little bit less clothing than they'd see in the street because, quite frankly, if you had long skirts and other parts of the typical wardrobe, you couldn't have danced upon the back of a horse or done acrobatics on the ground or in the air. So I think there was something of an exception to the normal wardrobe that was expected for women, despite the comment from the pulpit.
we ended up with this big merger, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. How did we end up with three and then two powerhouse circus companies ending up as one?
Well, that took place in the fall of 1918 when the declining number of brothers realized that America could no longer support two super big, gigantic circuses. Both the Ringling Show and the Barnum & Bailey Show were touring on 80 railroad cars. Each required four trains with two locomotives, a caboose and the crews for each one. And at the time, we were also enduring the Spanish flu. We're at the tail end of World War One, and kind of everything came together and said, it's time to reduce the operations. So they took their two 80-car troops and created eventually one 100-car wow. railroad circus, which was the Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, the greatest show on earth.
What led to the decline of the popularity of circuses? Was it just, as I kind of hinted at earlier, the rise in other ways we can entertain ourselves?
I think that's a principal reason. At the turn of the century, you started to see amusement parks, Nickelodeon theaters, traveling carnivals, greater agricultural fairs. Then in the 1920s, you got the motion picture palaces, which had a great feature, air conditioning. So instead of people going and sitting in a hot, sultry circus tent, they could go into an air-conditioned space and spend time there. In the 1950s, television had a huge impact on traveling shows, and all forms of outdoor entertainment really took a hit as television peripherally around the country.
There are still circuses that tour the country. Do you go to watch them yourselves? Do they keep that tradition alive?
Well, it's something that I would hope that all people keep alive. There are still a few troops that travel around itinerantly by motor highway using truck and trailers. They no longer use canvas tents. They use vinyl tents because they're more enduring. But they do erect the top and go through the same traditional events that characterize circus days of the past. They're just not as grandiose as they once were.
Now, we've got this whole documentary answering this question for us, but as we start to wrap up, can you tell us why it's important to look back at the circus as this unique part of American history?
I think the circus both reflected us and our culture, and it also influenced our culture. It introduced things like electric lights, early forms of film, and other types of technology to our people. It also brought forth ethnological congresses that educated us about people and cultures around the world. But it also showed some of the things that maybe aren't the best about our culture, such as segregation. The seating under the big top was segregated. So it serves as kind of a vehicle of both education and reflection. Today, we don't think about the circus, but many of the things that once made it unusual are part of our culture today. If you think in terms of how many people have tattoos today, you don't have to go to the circus to see a tattooed person. And the young man across the street might have put a ramp up on his roof to ride his skateboard off the roof. These are the kind of things that you'd go to the circus in the past, but today, the circus is kind of directly infused into our culture, and we just don't think about it that way. But it really has been there a long time.
We'll leave it there. Fred, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome, Rob.
Wisconsinite Fred Dollinger Jr. is a curator of circus history with the John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art in Sarasota, Florida. The new four-hour, two-part American Experience documentary titled The Circus premieres tonight on Wisconsin Public Television and Milwaukee Public Television at 8 p.m.